I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drumroll please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Canteen Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Finally got a little company here in the studio, man. It was lonely. Nick Friedell down at the Seaport. I'm Randy Scott, holding it down here in Bristol, Connecticut. You can tweet at Nick Friedell, at Randy Scott ESPN for me, at ESPN Radio for the program. It's 888-SAY-ESPN is the phone number, 888-729-3776. And we're continuing to take your calls on the one retired athlete that you want to see play one more game or one more tournament or one more season. It could be any sport for any reason. Call in, let us know. We got a great one at the end of the last segment. It was Kobe Bryant. That's a great answer. Nick had Michael Jordan as his. I said Bo Jackson. Somebody else has said Barry Sanders and on down the line. And it's inspired by Serena Williams, who is, by her account, playing her final tennis tournament of her Hall of Everything career. And you can see it continue tonight. Hopefully we don't see it end tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, taking on the 15th-ranked player in the world, Iga Świątek. So those are the business matters at hand. ESPN Radio is, of course, presented by Progressive Insurance. But with us here in studio, when I say I have company, Nick, is Andre Snellings, our ESPN senior writer, and he's going to class up the joint, certainly from an intelligence perspective, Andre.
What's up, Andre? What up, fellas?
Analytics side of this trade that we broke down a little bit on the other side of the break when we were talking about the Donovan Mitchell move to Cleveland, which, man, I didn't have the Cavs as a player in this thing, and now here he is as a player for the Cavs. And it's Oche Agbaji, Colin Sexton, Lauri Markkanen, the three unprotected first-round picks, and two pick swaps. How does a guy in Donovan Mitchell, who seemed, we're going to talk about usage rate through the roof when he was in Utah, seemingly would have to share the basketball a little bit more now in his new spot? And I put an intentional question mark on the end of it because I'm pitching it to you. Is there enough ball in Cleveland to go around now that Spide is on that roster?
Yeah, so, to your point, yes, he's going to have to fit in a way he didn't have to in Utah. In Utah, it was almost toss the ball to him and let him make magic. In Cleveland, they've got a squad. Like, they've got kind of top to bottom. And so with Colin Sexton, the player that they traded for Mitchell, we saw that he and Darius Garland were kind of having a little bit of growing pains, as they were both young guards that liked the ball in their hands, that liked to score. And we didn't really see Garland break out until after Sexton got injured last season. And so that is a bit of a concern. Will Garland still be able to be the all-star that he was next to a player like Mitchell? But I think that having had that year of development, that Garland is ready to do that he can focus more on being the point guard and let Mitchell focus on being the shooting guard. And then they've got like that defensive line behind them. Mm-hmm. So I like how the Cavs are put together, and I like the fact that they're all like 25 and under. And so I think they're a team that can make some noise this season and will be making some noise for quite a while in this East.
Mr. Snellings, I think Donovan Mitchell is a hell of a player.
Mm-hmm.
But the overreaction in New York City today has been unbelievable as I sit here in the Seaport. Our friend and colleague, Stephen A. Smith, who hosts First Take, was on KJM this morning. And he had this to say when the topic of Mitchell not being with the Knicks came up.
I'm utterly disgusted. I'm really ticked off about it. At the end of the day, from a basketball decision, you don't want to mortgage the farm if you're the New York Knicks, because Donovan Mitchell without anybody to play beside him makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, and I get all of that. My problem is this is more the same with the New York Knicks. Every time you're on the verge, or you appear to be on the verge of getting a star to come to this franchise, they end up going somewhere else. And for me, that's where it's a level of disgust that is hard for me to put into perspective, because I'm a lifelong Knicks fan and I'm unapologetically biased towards them, but I'm sick of the Bush League tactics.
Okay, Andre. should Knicks fans be that upset that they missed out on Donovan Mitchell?
Well, you might have to play that sound again, because I'm not quite sure where Stephen A. stands on this issue. No, I don't think the Knicks fans should be that upset, because Mitchell is not, like Stephen A. said, the Knicks never get their superstar. I don't think that's what Mitchell is. I think he's, like you said, he's a really good player. I think he's really good for what's going on in Cleveland because they have other really good young players that fit what he does. I didn't necessarily see the Knicks as a team where, A, they had that fit, or B, they had enough other talent around him to be able to justify giving up, you know, so much of their young talent in order to get him. It would have reminded me a little bit of previous Knicks moves, you know, a generation ago. I remember when they traded for Stephon Marbury. You know, I went to Georgia Tech, you know, love Marbury. But when they traded for Marbury and he had a press conference in the park with a hype man talking about they scared now. Like, that's what a Donovan Mitchell move would have been to me. Something that was a splash in August or September, but that would not have got the Knicks where they wanted to go. So, honestly, I think they should feel okay that they missed out on this one because they're still trying to build something, hopefully, for the long haul.
We're talking with Andre Snellings, our ESPN senior writer here at Professor Dr. Z on Twitter here on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Nick Friedell, Randy Scott in for the guys. So the idea that there is a logjam in the Eastern Conference, I get that, and I fully respect it. I mean, you got obviously Philadelphia, and Miami's always a problem, and Milwaukee seemingly probably was an NBA Finals team if Chris Middleton's healthy. I mean, Boston is Boston, and who knows what the Nets, you know, could be. And that includes Nick Friedell. Who knows, Nick? You're on that team. Nobody can know.
What is going on in Brooklyn?
Nobody knows. But so when Nick pointed out accurately, like, where were the Knicks going to go with Donovan Mitchell? So let's spin that to the Cavs now. What is their ceiling? Because I think casual fan, and I probably raised my hand to this, to be like, they're best they could hope for is a 5 seed in a loaded Eastern Conference, even with Donovan Mitchell.
So the East is so interesting right now because there's two answers to your questions. There are a few Eastern Conference teams that their upside is championship, and that's the 4 or 5 teams that you named already. I think if everything goes well, they could be champions. I don't think the Cavs could be champions this year. But the second part, as far as regular season record, I think the Cavs could potentially be the number one seed in the East. I think it's so volatile. Last year, the number one seed had 53 wins. This Cleveland team could win 54 games, you know? So much of it is about how it plays out. And again, I don't think this trade for them was just for this season. I think maybe this year they couldn't win the championship, but with another year or two of development around this core, they could be in the championship mix in future years. So I don't buy the notion that there's this hallowed 5 and the Cavs can only be 6th. I don't see that. They would have been close to a number one seed last year if not for their injuries. They were leading the Central Division well, you know, to like the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. So I think they've got that upside. We'll see how it plays out.
All right, Andre, let's close out the Mitchell conversation and hit a topic that certainly has unified New York and seemingly everybody who's watching. Randy and I have been talking about Serena's match tonight all day long. What do you expect to see from her after such an emotional win the other night?
Right, such an emotional win the other night. And kind of an emotional loss last night in doubles with her sister. They went to a tiebreak in the first set before they lost. So I think that my questions about Serena coming into this were, can she physically reach a level of competitiveness that has now been answered? We saw with what she did earlier this week that she can play at that level. And we know the entire state of New York is vocally behind her on every point. Everyone talks about the energy. I'm going to the U.S. Open tomorrow, so I'll be able to check out some of that, but obviously I won't get to see Serena. But I think that she should play well enough to win. I think she should not sleep on her opponent. Like, Iga Tomjanovic is solid. You know, mm-hmm. She's been a quarterfinalist at Wimbledon the last 2 years. She made a quarterfinal run in Cincinnati last month. I think she's got game, but I expect Serena, if she's physically able to do it, which she appears to be, to be able to come through this match and the next and get to make at least a quarterfinal run against her old doubles partner, Ons Jabeur.
Yeah, I mean, selfishly, I was looking at the doubles match last night, and I was like, okay, the Williams sisters got their flowers, but let's save the legs. I was like, I want to keep it for the singles run for Serena. I don't want to mortgage it with a doubles run. But it was, you know, surprising to see them lose in the opening round of a doubles match together for the first time since the 90s, right? I mean,
yeah, but they hadn't played together in like 3 or 4 years. And, you know, just watching it, like, Venus was there and playing, supporting her sister. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Father Time is undefeated. So she's not what she was.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I was happy to see them play, and I wish it could have lasted longer. But, you know, Serena for the win.
Serena for the win tonight. We'll see. Again, you can see it 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Serena Williams against Ayla Tomljanovic. U.S. Open third round action against moved from ESPN2 to ESPN proper tonight. Andre, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming in.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Good to have guests in studio, Nick. You wouldn't know anything about that, Mr. Seaport.
One day I'll be at ESPN proper, my friend.
We're going to continue to take your calls inspired by Serena on the one retired athlete that you want to see one more time. One game, one season, one tournament. But first, Nick's going to tell you about FanDuel.
Kick off football season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up with promo code PLAY to get in on the action. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. Don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code PLAY. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Our lives living in a gangster's paradise.
That's a situation they got me facing. I can't live a normal life.
I was raised by the street.
Come on now. Down with the hood team. Too much television watching got me chasing dreams. Watching television tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. Watching Serena Williams in the third round U.S. Open. And no, we're not doing it. It's Ayla Tomljanovic, though, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Randy Scott, if you had just thrown in Ayla Tomljanovic in the flow of Gangsta's Paradise,
I thought it was coming, man. I really did.
In the Seaport studio right here.
I'm so
really
glad.
I thought it was coming.
I was like, is he going to do this?
That we're on Slate, not on ESPN Plus.
If we were on ESPN Plus, no one would have been able to hear that music, and all they would have heard is you guys a cappella. So
they would have heard it.
I've been at multiple weddings, which is two, more than one. I've been at two weddings where the bride sang that song with the DJ, like beat in the background, but not Coolio in the background. Just like you said, just the lyrics. The bride knew every word.
Did the bride work in Tomljanovic though?
Didn't work on Ayla Tomljanovic. No,
not good enough.
Not good enough. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. He is Nick Friedell at the Seaport there in New York. I'm Randy Scott here in Bristol.
Wait. I have a Coolio story that I feel like must be shared with the
Let's
world.
Go
in this moment. We're in Sacramento, I think in like February, but the last few months of my life moving from San Francisco to New York have been very much of a blur, especially since the Nets are insane as a team, and that whole last 6 months was crazy. Randy Scott, we're in Sacramento postgame. The Nets have just lost to the Kings. NBA fans will remember this as the game where James Harden really quit on the Nets. Steve Nash is late to the press conference, coming into this very small room inside Golden One Center in Sacramento. We're like, where the hell is Nash? Because usually the game ends and Steve Nash is at the podium. It's because Coolio has stopped him in the hallway And Coolio is telling Steve Nash to tell the Nets to hire him to perform at halftime because every time he performs, the home team wins. And we're like, this can't be happening. And Steve Nash, who has just lost to the Kings, who sees that James Harden has just quit on his team, who is dealing with all the craziness involving Kyrie Irving, is listening to Coolio. And Steve is a nice guy, so he's smiling and kind of nodding and laughing. We're all like, That can't be true. You're telling me every time Coolio performs that team wins, and come to find out somebody on Reddit looks it up and then the home teams were like 3-5. But the post-game press conference for the Nets in a game against the Sacramento Kings was delayed because Coolio was trying to sell Steve Nash on getting the Nets to allow him to perform in Brooklyn.
That's seriously like a 2000s or 90s fever dream. You know what I mean? It really is. It's like why was Steve Nash late in the post-game presser? Coolio.
And Coolio. You're
like, okay, yeah. You said, Nash said to Coolio, I'll see you when you get there. Do you remember that song?
It wasn't working at Isla Tomjanovich, but it was close. It was close, friends.
I had that CD single. I got that CD single in probably Sam Goody.
I'll see you
when you get, if you ever get. That was a choir, right? A choir was in the background.
Yeah, oh yeah.
All right, so Inspired, 7 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, Serena Williams, Isla Tomjanovich, the U.S. Open third round match as Serena's run continues for however long. I mean, this is it. This is her final tennis tournament of her all-everything career. We're taking calls on the retired athlete that you want to see one more time. One more game, one more season, one more tournament. Let's get to Scott in North Carolina. We haven't heard this one. Scott, you're on ESPN Radio.
Hey, so I think I'm just a little older than you guys. Saw Sanders play, saw Jordan play, and started going through the favorites of my youth. Griffey Jr. was one, but I was going to go with Mattingly, and then it hit me. I can go with a little unique perspective here or turn here. Andrew Luck left a very primed team two weeks, I think, before the season started. Yeah. He could unretire today and play tomorrow, and I'd like to see that because the Colts roster is ready for him, and I think they'd be great if he came back.
Oh, and look at how the quarterback market's changed since he's been gone. He could come back and get $35 million a season. You know, I mean, he's still on the right side of 30. You're right. I mean, that's a good one. That's a really good one. This is different. This is different here. Ray in Cali. Ray, you're on ESPN Radio.
Hi. My guy is Babe Ruth. He died the year I was born. Arguably the best athlete of all time for many different reasons, and I'd love to see him play in my lifetime.
I would, too. I think we'd get our answer of, you know, guys who trained, and I'm using that loosely, but trained the way that Babe Ruth did, Nick, against pitchers now. I think that'd be really interesting.
I mean, I'm still training the way Babe Ruth did, Randy. I hope that Babe would come back and start knocking it out, home runs all over the place.
Does that mean you have a cigar in your hand right now?
A cigar.
A few hot dogs, you know.
Yeah, some Glizzy King. Do we have time? Do we have time for one more? Can we do one more? You tell me, because I mean these are all good answers.
I like Dean.
Dean?
Dean's
okay.
Been on hold for a while.
Dean, all right. Dean, Toledo, Ohio. You're on ESPN Radio.
How's it going, gentlemen?
What's up, dude?
Yeah, I got two of them for you. First one, I'd love to see the 92 Dream Team play in the next Olympics at the age they're at now. I think Jordan and Magic will still smack talk about their AARP policies, but I think it would be a great entertainment.
All right.
Next one is God Rest His Soul, Muhammad Ali, Iron Mike in their prime fight.
Oh.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. That's different. Haven't heard a boxing one yet. And that'd be, I mean, wow, he's creating fantasy matchups. Charles Barkley would kill somebody. I mean, honestly, Charles Barkley would be frustrated at his ability to get up and down the floor, and he'd cause even more of an international incident than he did against, was it Angola?
Yeah, it was the elbow against Angola. But, Randy, that is a great one on top of the Dream Team. How about an Ali fight?
That would be
awesome.
He had him fighting Mike Tyson. Tyson in his prime against Ali in his prime.
Ali dominates him. Yes.
Really?
He's bigger.
And he wears out Iron Mike.
Wears him out. That fight. That fight goes three rounds. Maybe Tyson wins. Tyson's not it. Tyson gets inside the reach, the rope-a-dope, all of that. Is that blasphemous? I don't know. We're talking Tyson peak.
Are you saying that because you're scared of Mike Tyson, that he could like be near here and Ali is dead, so he won't come and you up?
You see Tyson at the U.S. Open? You see Tyson in the stands? He looked pretty mellow these days, yeah, man.
That's true.
Like, I think he's still got it in him. That plane video showed that. All right, remember, 7 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, Serena Williams, U.S. Open, third round match. We have an update on the newly expanded college football playoff, the details of how this is going to be structured, the 12-team playoff. Nick Friedell, Randy Scott, in for the guys, Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs, like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley! Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mentalhealth.
And wave them like you just don't care.
If you know. Oh, yeah, you're. Javonte. Saving the good stuff for when we're.
Oh, yeah.
Not on ESPN Plus, and that's a waste, man. It's a waste. Give the man his flowers.
Not on ESPN proper either.
No, that's true. You know what is on ESPN proper? So you segue like a mall cop right now. Serena Williams, Ayla Tomljanovic, U.S. Open third round this eve, ESPN proper.
And that is exactly why you live on ESPN proper.
What?
For that segue.
Segue like a mall cop.
I guess in order to be on ESPN proper, you must segue like a mall cop, because that is what a pro's pro does. Finds a way in and out, and it always goes back to proper.
Well, ESPN proper tonight, because it's notable at this point of the college football season, the fact that college football is moved from ESPN proper to ESPN2 because of Serena Williams' run, that speaks to the command and the energy and the just aura around Serena right now at this last tournament of her career and the run that she's on, and now she's got to go through another top 15 player in the world to try to continue it. So we'll see if she can. Watch along with us. And you can also take it anywhere you go on the ESPN app. It's Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, as we said, SiriusXM Channel 80. He's Nick Friedell. I'm Randy Scott. 888-SAY-ESPN is the phone number, 888-729-3776. The news that broke within moments of us going on the air today, so we're talking like, 2:59 p.m., Nick, was this expansion of the college football playoff. And that story has evolved through the show. The very latest now is that this 12-team playoff format, which could go into effect as soon as 2024 if some contractual details are worked out, will look like this. Okay, 12 teams. The four highest-ranked conference champions will be seeded 1-4, and they each get a first-round bye. Teams 5-12 play each other in the first round on either the second or third weekend of December, with a minimum 12-day break between the end of conference championship games and the beginning of the first round playoff games. Those are the quarterfinals. That and the semifinals will be played in bowl games on a rotating basis. Championship game will continue to be at a neutral site, as it is under the current 4-team format, and conference relationships will be favored in those quarterfinal and semifinal games, which is to say a Pac-12 team when lined up with a Big Ten team will play at the Rose Bowl. Okay, we'll try to keep some tradition,
some continuity
in place. Exactly. It's notable to me here, Nick, what jumps off right away is the fact that they're giving the top four teams buys. Because if you want to look at it with a cynical eye, and I think we kind of have to because this is such a money-making opportunity, they are sacrificing some money. They're leaving, I don't want to say sacrifice, they're leaving money on the table here, because four teams means two college football playoff games and the revenue and advertising dollars that would come from that, and they're saying, no, leave it on the table. Let's have four teams sit, and we'll play four, you know, we'll play the four games as opposed to the six.
Two things instantly pop into my head, Mr. Scott. The first is that it's only a matter of years before the buys are gone because the money will be too big. So as we sit here now, cool, and in the next few years, you get a buy for those first four seats, okay. But I will believe it when I see it if in, you know, 15 years from right now, there are still buys because the money will be so astronomical at that point that it'll get worked in. Number two, one of my favorite shows of the year, every year, especially back when the polls were a much bigger deal. Seems like that's gotten a little diluted with the playoff the last few years, but it's that SVP post-game Saturday night after all the conference championships have been decided.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaches who were trying to get into the four slots will come on and basically give a speech about why their team belongs in the playoff or why their team deserves to be seeded a little higher. And so I cannot imagine now the fight in those last couple weeks and certainly that last night after the conference title games from some of these coaches to say, oh, my team needs to buy and I need to be in that top four slot because my team has played so much better and been so good throughout the year. So that part of this is going to be interesting, I think, as we start to see the new machinations of how this playoff format unfolds.
Yep, and you know, it's Heather Dinich who said that the presidents voted in favor of the six highest-ranked conference champions and then the next six highest-ranked teams, and that commissioners have been, quote-unquote, highly encouraged to implement this as soon as 2024. Pete Thamel offering this is the most succinct summation of this awkward college football playoff dance, according to an industry source. It was a wasted 15 months because three guys, Kevin Warren, Jim Phillips, and George Kliavkov, were pissed, his words, not mine, pissed at Greg Sankey. Ridiculous. Because this has been an on-again, off-again dance, and it does seem at times intensely personal among these conference presidents. Conference commissioners, I should say. A reminder that college football is back. You tune in tomorrow as Georgia, the defending national champion Georgia Bulldogs, battle Oregon in Atlanta on ABC. Presented by Dr. Pepper, coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Respect it or check it. We're going to play it, and you can play along with us. Nick Friedell, Randy Scott, in for the guys. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Dan Carlin, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, Nick Friedell, Randy Scott, in for the guys. A reminder about the Serena Williams match tonight, U.S. Open third round, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, and it you know, got us thinking, and we put out the call, four calls. You call into the show, 888-SAY-ESPN. Who's the one athlete, the one retired athlete that you want to see play one more time, one more game, one more season, one more tournament? And we got a call from Brian in New York, and this is the first... Nick, I think this is the first auto sports one that we've got. Brian, you're on ESPN Radio.
What's up, guys?
How are you, dude? Who you got?
Oh, pretty good. Sorry. I got three. The only three seven-time NASCAR Cup champions, Richard Petty, Dale Earnhardt, and Jimmy Johnson.
All right. I could see that. I mean, you want to see them all in the same race?
Sure, why not? Lay it all on the line?
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
I don't know. It's three. You figure it's three eras, but hey,
that'd
you
be
know,
cool. Well, no,
he's often retired. I mean, yeah. Unfortunately, Dale ain't here, but right, the others right. Do.
Well, we had somebody call in and say he wanted to see Ali fight Tyson. You know, that's different eras, but like, hey, as long as we're having retired athletes back, let's have them back for the fights or the races that we want to see. Brian, appreciate that phone call. Nick, that's the first auto sports one. That's a good one. I do want to go back to the Tyson and the Ali one though. I'm going to go ahead and say Tyson in that one.
Why?
He's an animal, dude. He was just it was a different thing. It was a different phenomenon. It was the kind of athlete, the kind of training that Ali did not face in his prime. It just didn't happen. There was nobody no one was a killer the way Mike was a killer back then. Not even Ali. Ali wasn't a killer.
I agree, but I feel like I've grown up in a world where Muhammad Ali has been put on the type of pedestal that Michael Jordan's on. And in that regard, I just feel like Ali would find a way to adapt. he would find a way to wear Tyson out over time if Mike didn't knock him out early on in the fight. So it would be awesome. It's part of the fun of what we do.
Yeah.
But I am taking Ali in that fight just because he was able to win so many fights by just staying upright, rope-a-dope, taking mm-hmm. the shots, and then delivering his own much later when somebody was worn out.
Tyson himself would pick Ali. He said as much on a podcast. He also, he also said that Ali was intimidating in a way that Tyson, you know what I mean? Like the mental game, the mental aspect of a fight, Ali would have had that advantage over Tyson, and that's Tyson saying it himself. But the one punch power, buddy, I don't think Ali faced somebody like that. But there are old heads who disagree with me and probably be right. More Canty and Carlin right now.
My jam!
This guy has tracks for days.
Oh, man. Oh, I love this song.
Ha! See you later. I'm gone. Penthouse suite. No, don't say that. All right. ESPN Radio. ESPN app.
The only thing that's missing as I hear that song from my childhood is my girl Kimmy Coon refusing to go on a date with me.
That's what you think of?
I must have asked this girl out 50 times in my life, and we always loved that song.
Wait a second.
And I called her up when that song would come on and be like, hey, let's go. I'm
50
good.
Times over the span of how long, Nick?
I went to a private school.
When's the last time that you asked her out? Within the last decade?
In the last decade. No, I mean, I probably stopped after college. It was like, no, it's not going to happen. But every time
that's
I hear
persistence
that song,
or it's something else.
Yeah, I sent her a candy gram in sixth grade got off the rails. She didn't talk to me for a few years, but no, she was one of my closest friends growing up, but we loved that song.
Who says no to candy? Who doesn't like candy? Come
well,
on.
Well, it wasn't that she didn't say no to the candy. It was that in the candy gram note, it said, will you be my Valentine? And instead of just no, her other friend came up and she's like, Kim doesn't want to talk to you.
sending the friend?
And then we didn't speak for years, but God, did we love that song back in the day.
That's a jam. That's a jam right there. That was on Hip Hop. The Source presents Hip Hop Hits Volume 2. That's what that one is on.
Oh, man.
This is KT and Carlin, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. He's Nick Friedell. I'm Randy Scott. The phone number 888-SAY-ESPN. A reminder, Serena Williams again facing Ila Tomjanovic tonight. U.S. Open third round action, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Those are great tracks, and so is this one. It's time for Respect It or Check It.
Respect It.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Or Check It.
Check.
With Canty and Carlin.
That's right. Respect It or Check It is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. That's one less billboard you have to do, Randy. How about this? We've been talking the entire time about college football playoff expanding. Still only four teams this year. How about this, Randy? A Pac-12 team will make the college football playoff before it expands. Respect it or check it.
Say it one more time. Before it expands?
A Pac-12 team will make the college football playoff while it's still at four.
Okay.
Do you respect that or do you check it? You say no.
Because it could be 24 or 2026. I respect it actually because I trust the voices who say that Utah is a playoff team this year. 2022 into 23, which would be ahead of the 24 or 26 potential of this playoff expanding. So, yeah, Nick Friedell, I'm going to go ahead and say I respect it and Utah is the one.
I'm checking it. I know there's a lot of hype around Utah. I know they can play. But, Randy, you and I both know that the politics involved in getting to a four-team playoff are something. And in order for Utah, coming out of what many feel is a diluted Pac-12, even though for right now they still have USC and UCLA, I don't think they're going to go all the way through, and I don't think they're going to have enough push at the end to make it happen.
Big trade in the NBA, Nick. Donovan Mitchell, now a member of the Cavs. So how about this? Respect it or check it. The Cavs will finish in the top four in the East this season.
I'm checking it. They're not better than Boston. They're not better than Milwaukee. They're not better than Brooklyn, if Brooklyn can maintain its roster, at least for the year.
That's a big if.
It's a big if. I still don't think, guys, that they are better than Miami. And I think Miami has gotten lost in the shuffle because they haven't added anybody. But that team is tough as nails, and Jimmy Butler can play at a very high level. And so that's four right there. And we haven't even mentioned Joel Embiid and what the Sixers are hoping is a revitalized James Harden now that he's got that new deal. So that's five teams. It's possible, but I'm checking it. I don't think they're good enough right now.
Yeah, I'm checking it as well. For the exact reasons. I just feel like the East is too top heavy. It's too loaded. And there's just too much of a logjam. There's no path to it. You know, we had Andre Snelling's here in studio, and he's smarter than Nick and I put together. And he said, listen, this team was a top four seed before the injuries came on. And who's to say any, you know, the injuries don't hit Boston or Milwaukee again or Brooklyn or who knows the level of interest James Harden will choose to grace us with this season. And then Miami's always there too. There could be issues that befall the top four that you might pencil in your head, but they're still there for a reason. And I don't see it with Cleveland. I don't see them as much of a threat, assuming health on all sides. So I'm going to say it's just too much talent in the East.
Randy, I've worked with you a few times now. I know you can be self-deprecating. I did like how you looped Nick in there to say that Andre was smarter than both of you guys combined, assuming how smart Nick is.
Randy
or just
knows.
Disparaging him completely.
I took no offense whatsoever.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
We're on the same wavelength. It's
come
all
on,
good.
You got to be a little nicer there.
No. It's all good. All
right. More about how smart Andre is. That was my point.
That's right.
He is a whiz. How about this? Russell Wilson locked up for a couple more years for the Broncos. A lot more. How about this? Randy, Russell Wilson doesn't have to win one, but Russell Wilson will make a Super Bowl during his Broncos tenure. Respect it or check it.
I respect it, unfortunately. I'm terrified of the Broncos as a fan of a different AFC West team, as a Raider fan. Like I do feel like this team has been a quarterback away from really making a run, like a deep playoff run in the AFC. And I don't feel like there's as much of a logjam in the AFC as there is in the NFC. Sort of equating it to the NBA's Eastern and Western conferences. I feel like the defense is good. The offensive weapons are there. Two-headed monster in the backfield. The wide receiving core, legit. And now they have Russell Wilson, who still has tread on the tires at age 33. So, yeah, I'm going to say they at least make it. I'm respecting it. They make it to a Super Bowl.
Guys, I'm respecting this too. Not only do I always believe in that Broncos defense finding a way, and that has kept them in plenty of games through the years, Russell Wilson just knows how to win. He is the prototypical leader who is able to raise the level of the other guys around him. He showed that plenty of times in Seattle. Once that team learns how he performs, and once he figures out exactly how he wants to run that offense, that team will be on top again. And it's why, if you're the Broncos, you feel so good about the commitment that you made.
All right, last one. We're going to talk to Marcel-Louis Jacques about Tua in the next segment and his improved offseason. Dolphins will be a playoff team this year. Nick, respect it or check it?
I'm checking it. I still don't think they have enough around Tua, and I still have questions about Tua. I don't think it can happen this year.
I'm going to check it, if only because I think the AFC West gets three playoff teams in. I think the Bills are a lock. I think the Colts are a lock. I feel like there are too many relatively sure things. You know, famous last words at a week one, but I have to see that new system in place first. So I'm going to say check it. I am, But man, if what we're hearing about Tua and his improved mechanics, not just arm strength, are legit, and we'll find out. We're going to talk to the man who's been close to that situation down with the Fins in South Florida. Nick Friedell, Randy Scott, it's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio.